are listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website www.lmc.org.au.
Well, good morning all. How are we going? Going well? Yes, oh, good response. That's fantastic. I'm going to pray and we're going to get stuck into our subject this morning. And I hope it is life-changing for you. Father, we just thank you for today. We just thank you for your word. Just thank you for your Holy Spirit. And I pray right now that you would speak into our midst clearly and powerfully. And so we just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm here this morning, even after Collingwood lost last night. Blooming umpires, I tell you. I'm joking. But today I want to continue on with a message that I did on a Sunday night a couple of weeks ago. So if you weren't here, I started to speak on spiritual gifts. Now, there are a couple of things that I want to straighten out from that message that I did. And so if you weren't here, you're not going to be thinking, oh, I missed that. So I'm just going to run through a couple of things that I quickly talked about on the Sunday night. And then I want to just step back a little bit to give a bit of clarity in teaching. So Sunday night, a couple of weeks ago, I spoke from 1 Corinthians 12, and I spoke about spiritual gifts. And I just quickly want to, if we can just throw those slides up on the screen. These are the points that I spoke about. I spoke that that spiritual gifts, it's about the supernatural, as in it's more than just something that, you know, we're born with. It's a supernatural thing. So it's a God-inspired, supernatural, Holy Spirit thing. Second thing is that the Bible talks about, you know, I dealt with a couple of the, you know, discussions that there are out there of are spiritual gifts for today, and some people don't believe they are, but in 1 Corinthians 14, I think it's verse 1, it says, pursue love and spiritual gifts. It's very clear. And so third point is don't be ignorant, misunderstand or be misinformed about spiritual gifts. These gifts aren't like what you see in the world. These gifts should bring glory to God and draw people to Jesus. Number four, it's not all about you. Okay, so this is to benefit and profit others, given by God to benefit and profit others. Number five, the gifts are for all believers. If you're all believers in here, the gifts are for all believers. Not some, not one, not two, not those who are on the platform. The gifts are for all believers. Number six, I don't want to go into it, but beware of the comparison trap. Don't compare yourself with others because they've got this gift and you haven't got that gift. Go for what God has given you. Okay, so we can go to the second slide. So as I spoke out of 1 Corinthians 12, 8 to 10, now I'm sorry for the guys over that side that are looking at that. We have a bit of a problem and it's in the way, and I tried to move it this morning but it was just too heavy, and I think there would have been some guys from the maintenance team not happy with me if I had. So anyway, the spiritual gifts as from 1 Corinthians 12, 8 to 10 is the revelation or to know gifts are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discernment of spirits, which I'm not going into today. The power gifts are the to-do gifts, and this is how they can be framed. They are the working of miracles, faith, and the working of healings or healing ministry. And the third lot, the third three, are the vocal to say, and they are tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. And so today, towards the end of my message, I just want to give some clarity on tongues and interpretation. Okay, but we need to go back a couple of steps to do a little bit of teaching on this. Not that I covered last time, but I did cover a little bit, but I just want to give a little bit more clarity on. So, If we can go to the scripture, Mark 1, verses 8 to 11. Now, these are in all the Gospels, but I'm reading from Mark. Now, today, most of what I read from will be in the New King James Version. A couple of times I'm going to flick over to the Amplified to just give it a bit more meat so I can just teach a little bit on it. So let's read together. So Mark 1, verses 8 to 11. I indeed baptized you with water. This is John speaking, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And verse 9, it says, it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Just want to stop on that for a minute. I've just had a real sense that God wants to speak into this today. And as Matt shared, and I didn't know what Matt was speaking about, he was talking about having a childlike faith. If you're here today and you don't, and you're a Christian and you don't believe that God is pleased with you, can I just say that you're believing a lie? God is pleased with you. And you could say, oh yeah, but you don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. That's why Jesus came into the world. To deal with your shortfalls and your shortcomings. And he washed it all away by his blood and by the power of his blood. You are a child of God. You are loved by God and he is pleased with you. So I don't know who that's for today. It might be for a couple of people and you might have been thinking for years, God is not pleased with me. If you don't think God is pleased with me, you're not going to follow out the things that he's asked you to do. So as we see there, just going back a step, as we see Jesus was baptized by water immersion, then the Spirit came a lot upon him and he was baptized in the Spirit as well. Now, I don't know whether you know or understand this, but for the first 30 years of Jesus' life, up until his baptism, he obeyed 10 commandments and 613 laws that have been put in place by the culture. He had to do that so that his perfection allowed us to be perfect in God's eyes. And so at that point, after 30 years, and just a side note, 30 years in Jewish culture is when the oldest son gets all his inheritance from the father. 30 years. At 30 years, and it says, I think it's Ephesians, it says, we have every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. And so at that point, when he was baptized, he hadn't performed any miracles. There'd been no one healed. There'd been no freedom from demon possession in his ministry. But at that point, he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and he went out. The Bible says that he went out in power. And so, as we see here in Matthew 3:15, and it's not up on the slide, so it says, Matthew 3:15, it says, but Jesus replied to him, permit it just for now. This is because he's responding to John saying, I'm not worthy to baptize you. For this is the fitting way for us to fulfill all righteousness. So right standing with God. He needed to fulfill it before he was baptized. And then he was baptized and we need to fulfill all righteousness. Then John permitted it and baptized him. And you know, that Jesus did everything that the Father had asked him to do. And if we see in Luke 2:49, and I'm trying to cover some things here to give you some understanding. I don't know whether you remember, but there was a time when Jesus, his parents couldn't find him. His earthly parents couldn't find him, and he was in the synagogue, and eventually they found him, and he said this, and he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" So before he was baptized and sent out in power, he spent time in the synagogue learning his Father's business. Not his own business, his Father's business. Up until his baptism, he was not working in the miraculous, healing, driving out demons, but he was learning about his Father's business. Then he was baptized with water and then of the Spirit, and God the Father gave him the power of the Holy Spirit to do what he had asked him to do. Can I just say something? If it's good enough for Jesus to have to go in the power of the Holy Spirit, it's good enough for all of us to need the Holy Spirit to go out and do what he's asked us to do. We cannot achieve what God has asked us to do without the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. So I'm not sure where you're at today, whether you've thought or haven't given it a thought and think, oh, I'm not sure whether I need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit to operate in the power that we need to operate. So it's good enough for us, absolutely imperative for us to need the power of the Holy Spirit. So we believe in what Jesus has done for us, and we are righteous because what he has done. We are loved, like it said in the scripture, by a heavenly Father, just as Jesus is loved by his heavenly Father, because we are adopted sons and daughters, are we not? Bible says we're adopted sons and daughters. We've got a nod there. And he's pleased with us. And he, as he asked Jesus to do things, has asked us to do things. And so we are then empowered by the Holy Spirit, sent by the Father, to do what he asks us to do. And John 16:13 says, "However, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you the things to come." Okay, so I just want to give you a little bit of a picture of how this works. And so I need the Father, I need the Son, and I need the Holy Spirit. And so, let me see, who can I choose as the Father? Matt Vincent, can you come and be the Father today? You look like a great Father figure. Let's give Matt a hand as he comes as the Father. Okay, Matt, can you just hold that, just so people know you're the Father? I think you look like the Father, but they know you're the Father. Okay? And now I want to find a son, so let's ask Matt Daly to come out and be the son. Let's give Matt a warm round of applause as he comes out and be the son. Need to get a beard, Matt. And the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's going to tell the son what to do, and the son is going to listen to everything the Holy Spirit says. So I'm going to ask my wife to come up as the Holy Spirit. Three in one. A powerful Trinity. The Father has the plans, talks to the Holy Spirit. The Son, through the power of the Holy Spirit, does the plans that they've worked out what to do, and they work together. Three in one, the Trinity. This is how it looks. So, Jesus said he was about his Father's business. So let me give you a little bit of a picture. I'm going to drag someone else up here in a minute. So, he's the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And so, in walks, let me just choose someone. I'm going to ask Luke to come up. Come on, Luke. Luke's just become a Christian. Congratulate Luke as he's just become a Christian. Awesome, Luke. So if you can just, you can just stand there. You're all working together, okay? Now you're all working together. Can I just give you those? They're Bunnings gift cards. So let me give you this picture. So the father's business is in house building. So he builds a house. Maybe he's in church building. But he builds houses. And so the son has paid the price to allow Luke to be an adopted child of God. And so Luke is a little Christ. He's a Christian. That's what Christians are. They're little Christs. And so Luke, it's now time for Luke to take hold of the Father's business as well. And so the Father is a builder. And so he says to Luke, we need to build a house. And I've dropped all the materials at the site, Luke, and so we need you to build the house. And so Luke goes out to the site and he has a bit of a look around. He says, how am I going to put all this together? How is this going to work? How are we going to put this together? This is going to be a lot of hard work unless I get some help. And so the father gets on the mobile phone, as they do, calls Luke and says, Luke, I'm going to send you a bit of help because I know you need it. And he says, what I want you to do is I want to introduce you to the person of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's a person. So get out of your minds if you think the Holy Spirit's just something out there. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is a person. And so what happens is the Holy Spirit comes alongside Luke, and Luke dialogues with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit says, you're going to need some tools to do the job. And so the Holy Spirit has Bunnings gift cards. And the Holy Spirit says, we're going shopping. And we're going to get you all the tools you need to get the job done. And he dialogues with God the Father. He knows what the Son's done for him through the power of the Holy Spirit, and dialogues about how they're going to get the job done. And spiritual gifts is part of the way that God empowers us to do what we're called to do. If you don't believe there's power in the Holy Spirit, you don't have the power to outwork what God's asked you to do. I needed to give this picture to you today so you understand it clearly. Let's give these guys a hand. So, spiritual tools for each day. So as in a house, you might need a sander, you might need a nail gun, you might need an excavator, you might need a concrete mixer, you might need someone who's a painter or knows something about paint. You always got the finishing touches happening as well. And you need tools for each day. But we need spiritual tools for each day. Because the Holy Spirit might speak to you about someone who you're working with. And they've got issues in their life. And he says, I want you to give them a word of wisdom. They need a word of wisdom. Or you might have someone who's got a major illness in their life. And so the spiritual tool that God might give you is a, you know, for the moment in time, he may say, we can see healing here. And so through the power of the Holy Spirit, because all believers have the gifts of the Spirit, and for different times, and God will use the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit at different times, and there are some who operate fully in, you know, pretty much they're strong in one gift, but we need to be aware of the voice of the Holy Spirit so we can go about and do what God has asked us to do. He's there to help, to guide, to comfort, and to give power. So in Acts 1:4-8, we see this. We put that up on the screen, and I'm using the New Living Translation for this one. It says, once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. In verse 7, he replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. And in 8 it says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, through Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That is the business that we are in. That is our Father's business. It's very clear here in Acts. This is what the Bible says. So we're witnesses, and we go in the power that God has given us. We're witnesses in everyday life. And because we want the big calling, the amazing spiritual gift, the big ministry opportunity, and to hear from God, are you listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit? Yes, we are to share the gospel and make disciples, and we also need to live with integrity. It's a hand-in-hand thing. This is a side note. What are you doing when no one's looking? Are you listening to the Holy Spirit? How are you going with the little things in life? Are you listening to the Holy Spirit? How do we treat people wherever we are? How do we handle our money? Do we allow God to speak into our areas of weakness? Are you listening to the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit has been given, poured out, so we can see the kingdom established here on earth. My will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So if we go to Acts 2 and verse 4, this is following what Jesus had said, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Jews from everywhere were staying in Jerusalem who spoke different languages to the and they were amazed by the Galileans and the wonders of God that they heard in their own languages, because these guys were speaking not in tongues of their own, but others that were in Jerusalem heard them. And that day, 3,000 people were saved. Acts 2:32-33 says, this Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. So this is where I want to go to now. We understand that the power of the Holy Spirit is there to help us do the Father's business. Now, there's much conjecture about this subject. And so what happened three times in Acts was when people were prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they spoke in other tongues. Now, there is much conjecture about this. And so we see here in Acts 2, they spoke in tongues, and it was a particular way where others understood what they were saying. And in Acts 10 and 19 is also about tongues, which is a little bit different. Acts 19, I believe, people spoke in tongues and no one was there. They just all spoke in tongues when they were prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There are a lot of questions around this. Some people say, you know, what is it about tongues? Is it an evidence of the Holy Spirit? Yes, it is an evidence of the Holy Spirit. Is speaking in tongues for today? These are some of the other questions. Is speaking in tongues only used in a church meeting? Is there a speaking in tongues spiritual prayer language? Is speaking in tongues available for all Christians? Here's another question. If you don't speak in tongues, does it mean you don't have the Holy Spirit? No, that is totally wrong. I believe everyone receives the Holy Spirit when they become a Christian, but I believe there is other times where we get prayed for and we can receive a baptism in the Holy Spirit. What is the purpose of speaking in tongues? But so what does the Word say about speaking in tongues? Because that's what we need to base it on. So Mark 16 and verse 17 says this, "And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons and they will speak in new tongues." That's Mark 16. That's Jesus speaking. Acts 19, 5 to 6. "When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men there was about 12 in all." There are other spots in Acts where it mentions it, but I want to come now to 1 Corinthians 14. What I want to do today is I want to give you clarity on what I believe that Scripture says and I think is what's scriptural. That in 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about the spiritual gifts that are given for the benefit of all. And one of those gifts is speaking in tongues. And where there's a lot of conjecture in the body of Christ is that particular scripture speaking about speaking in tongues as a spiritual gift to be used in the church, which I think that's what that scripture is about. But I think 1 Corinthians 14 then gives a clear delineation that there is also a spiritual language that every Christian can speak in. For the reasons why everyone doesn't, I don't know, but can speak in. And so this is what I want to quickly teach on today before we finish. So 1 Corinthians 14, if we can go to that. It says here, and we're just going to follow down, then I'm going to pull apart what it says. "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God." So there's the first thing. It does not speak to men, but to God. "For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. But he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish that you all spoke with tongues." This is Paul speaking. "I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied." So he's giving clear distinction between what tongues is and how it operates in the church. And so he's beginning to explain it. And he goes on to explain further. And if we go into the Amplified Version and we go to verse 13, of 14, it says, "Therefore, the person who speaks in an unknown tongue should pray for the power to interpret and explain what he says. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, by my spirit," it says, so praying by my spirit, "by the Holy Spirit within me prays, but my mind is unproductive. It bears no fruit and helps nobody." Okay, so it's talking about in a church setting, it doesn't help anybody in a church setting. And then it says, "Then what am I to do?" This is the Bible speaking. Okay, so we're seeing the Bible. This is Paul speaking, and this is the Bible. "Then what am I to do? I will pray with my spirit by the Holy Spirit that is within me, but I will also pray intelligently with my mind and understanding. And it says, I will sing with my spirit by the Holy Spirit that is within me, but I will sing intelligently with my mind and also with understanding." Okay. So I'm dealing here with a spiritual language called speaking in tongues, not the gift of speaking in tongues that's mentioned in chapter 12. All right, so we can go to the next slide. So this is what the Bible says about speaking in tongues. Number one, speaks to God, not to men. and that's in verse 2. Number 2 speaks mysteries, and it's a language, and that's verse 2. Number 3 edifies himself. Is there a problem with edifying yourself? Is edifying yourself a good thing? It's a good thing. It says your mind is unproductive. Now, I believe that what this is saying is that the Spirit bypasses the thoughts of the mind, and so the Holy Spirit drops some incredible things into us without us actually realizing. And number 5, it says that we're praying in the Spirit. It also speaks about that later, about praying in the Spirit. And I think I have those scriptures. One is Jude 1:20, I think it is, or Jude 20. I just haven't got them with me. But one is also in Ephesians, where it talks about praying in the Spirit. So what do we have here? We have a spiritual prayer language called speaking in tongues, where we speak to God, awesome thing. We speak mysteries, or he speaks mysteries. He edifies himself. The mind is unproductive, and we're praying in the Spirit. They are all good things. I think if the Holy Spirit is speaking mysteries into our life about things that are to come, or things about what's going on in our lives, I think it is a powerful thing. And it's part of the Holy Spirit empowering us to go and do our Father's business. So if we quickly, just a couple of things on speaking in tongues. The experience is different for everyone. I just want to say this. Some people lock it up and think it's got to happen this way or that way. How old were you when you spoke in tongues? Sitting on your bed? Yep. Okay. So Claudia was prayed for at church. She was 10 and she spoke in tongues straight away, just like that. Now, everyone thinks that you've got to speak in tongues as soon as you are prayed over. I was prayed for speaking in tongues and the baptism of the Holy Spirit when I was 15 or 16, I think it was. I didn't speak in tongues till I was 28 or 27. I don't know why. Maybe I've got a hard head and it was in the way and stopped, you know, the head was just thinking too much about it. I don't know why. Did I receive it at that point? Yes, I do believe I received it earlier, but it came out later. So if you're sitting here today and you've been prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or you've been prayed for speaking in tongues, and you haven't spoken in tongues and you think I haven't received it, I don't believe that's right. I believe that at some point you need to continue to believe, and I'll read a scripture at the end which will back up what I say with that. Continue to believe. Okay, so that's one thing. It's not always fluent straight away. Babies don't talk, come out and say, "Hi, Mum, how you going? Hi, Dad, how you going?" They don't come out straight away and do that. Okay, so sometimes it's not fluent. For some it is, for others it isn't. And it's not necessarily about amazing feeling. Tongues is a powerful gift that can be used in our lives, given by the Holy Spirit to empower us to do God's work. So tongues and interpretation in church, just to quickly finish so we can sing together as we close. In verse 5 it says, "I wish you all spoke in tongues, but even more that you prophesied." We're going back to 14 now, chapter 14. "For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification." Okay, and I just want to continue to read. It's not on the screen, but it says, "But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking in tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by teaching? So likewise, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking to the air. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Even so, you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts," so it's reflecting back on chapter 12 about spiritual gifts, "let it be for the edification of the church that you may seek to excel." And in verse 18 it says, "I thank God, my God, I speak with tongues more than all of you, Yet in the church, I would rather speak five words with my understanding, even though he said it's okay to speak in tongues and with understanding. It says, speak five words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. So he's talking about in church. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. And this 27, this is a sealer on this. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or at most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in church and let him speak to himself and to God. And then in 39 it says this, therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. So Paul draws a line and he gives a clear instruction that speaking in tongues in church needs to be done in order. But he is also talking about speaking in tongues as a prayer language. A lot of people don't believe in it. I believe it's a powerful gift that God gives us so that we can go about and do the work of the ministry. So if I could have the worship team up. Andy, can we sing Good, Good Father? Is that okay? Is that all right? I want to finish with this scripture, and we can put it on the screen because I believe it's there, isn't it, Cass? Thanks. Luke 11, 10 to 13, is that there? Luke 11, 10 to 13. No, okay, that's all right. I'll read it. So just take that one off so there's no confusion. This is Luke 10. For everyone who keeps on asking persistently receives, and he who keeps on seeking persistently finds. And to him who keeps on knocking persistently, the door will be opened. Verse 11 says, what father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, that is sinful by nature, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask and continue to ask? Now, I know in a crowd like this, there'll be people who don't believe they've received the Holy Spirit or don't believe that they can speak in tongues or believe it's kind of a bit out there and a bit crazy. I believe with the right parameters, it's a powerful gift that God gives us. Now 2 weeks ago, Graham talked about a story where he and Chris warfared in one of their son's room and saw an amazing breakthrough. We need to pray in the Spirit because it goes beyond what things that we can gather. We are in a spiritual battle. What we see around us physically is the outworking of Satan and his demons doing things that aren't great spiritually. We need to fight fire with fire. You're not going to pick up a sword and go down and find a demon and cut their head off. You've got to fight them spiritually. So I just want to back up. This is part of following on from what Graham said. I want to back up. We're going to do more of the spiritual gifts in a couple of weeks. But just remember that picture, that we are adopted sons and daughters called to do what God has called us to do. Speaking in tongues is one of the things that God has given us to empower us, also to use in church, but it's for the common good as well. And so I want everyone to stand, please, today. We're going to finish with this song in a minute. But I want to pray for some people today. I want to pray that if you've never had this teaching or understanding before and you've had a revelation right now, I want to pray that the Holy Spirit comes on you with power. I want to pray for people who may have put things aside and tried to do it in their own strength and are tired of the battle. And you've forgotten that the Holy Spirit is a person designed to help you in life. I also want to pray for people who don't speak in tongues. The Bible says, ask and keep on asking. God's not going to hold back. But the power of the Holy Spirit is being given for us to do what we're called to do. We were talking out in the prayer room earlier. The scripture, it says, the gates of hell will not prevail against the armies of the Lord. That is not a negative picture of the gates of hell bashing down the gates of heaven. That is a picture of the armies of the Lord bashing down the gates of hell. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to be guided by the Holy Spirit to take one step at a time to do the things that we've been called to do. And so I want you to take off your misconceptions and preconceived ideas about the Holy Spirit. And I want you to begin to ask that the Holy Spirit will empower you each day, and you'll begin to see gifts outworking in your life. You'll begin to see a spiritual prayer language that you haven't got that speaks mysteries of things that might be to come, that might be about the situation that you're in. And whether it's here or at home, if you haven't spoken in tongues before, just in your quiet time, just allow God to come upon you. Begin to praise Him and ask for a heavenly language. Father, we just thank You for this morning. I thank You for each and every person that's here, no matter where they're at. Lord, we just pray that Your Holy Spirit would come in power on people right now. Father, we know that Your Holy Spirit came that we might be witnesses throughout the earth. So the Holy Spirit didn't come just so we could speak in tongues. It's part of what comes with it. But that we might be witnesses. So God, I pray that people would know and understand the power of the Holy Spirit today. You would just come in power on them right now. It doesn't have to be noisy. Just quietly in power. God can do it in the way that He wants to do it. So Lord, do Your thing. Let Your Holy Spirit fall. Baptize people, I pray. Thank You, Jesus.